Glory to Jesus Christ. You know, we think of the saints, of whom we all of them, we commemorate today. Think of any saint, they are commemorated today. There's a lot of things that stand out in their lives, right? Like the miracles that have shown forth, great things, maybe how they died for the Lord as a witness. You know, the word martyr means witness in Greek, martyria means witness. So they bore witness to something. What is it they're bearing witness to? You ever wonder about that? There is something that they have become acutely aware of that I think all of us here are trying to still begin to understand. Because as far as I know, and again, I don't know many of y'all, maybe there's some saints here and I don't know you yet, but I'm not a saint and I'm pretty sure most of y'all aren't saints. So we're still beginning to learn this thing. The thing that they stand witness to is, above all, the love of God. And what do I mean when I talk about that? Because, you know, in a modern language, the word love can mean many, many different things. I love brownies, but I also love my wife. Two totally different loves, right? But we only have one word to describe that thing, that affection or that draw or whatever we have for that thing, right? I love my grandma, but I love my kids. Different loves, right? When we look back in Scripture, there's really four words for love in Greek. And you probably know most of them, right? There's agape, there is philia, there is eros, and the least known one is a storge, which is kind of like a motherly love. And we all know what eros is, right? Eros is like erotic love. It's the love of a man for a woman, and when they're married and all that good stuff. And that never actually appears in Scripture, believe it or not. Eros never appears in Scripture. It's a word that was in their lectionary, but they never used it. It never once showed up. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. The word storge never shows up either, except twice. I think in the letters, Paul's letter to the Romans and maybe to Timothy, his first letter to Timothy, and he uses a negative, meaning you don't have love for people. You don't have storge for these people. So the other ones that show up quite a bit are philia, and a lot is agape. So when we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's saying agape love. So then we fast forward. Christ is in his earthly ministry. He appoints the apostles, who Synaxis is today. And a couple of them don't really do so well. Remember who they were? Who were the two apostles that kind of stumbled and fell? That was Judas and Peter, right? Judas denied Christ, or Judas betrayed Christ, and it was Peter who denied Christ. And believe it or not, of those two, the denial was the worst. I don't know if you remember in the early church, if you denied Christ, if you denied the gospel, you were done. You know, the Donatists were like, no, you can never come back. Now the church overturned that and said, yeah, they can come back. But it was a hugely bad thing to deny Christ. So here we have Peter, who we remembered yesterday with Paul, who denied the Savior. And in doing so, he denied something very, very important. He denied God's love and the fact that he loved God. He denied it. He cursed. The young woman asked him, aren't you one of those people? He talked like them. And he cursed. He's like, rah, 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 rah. Kind of, I do not know the man. And then the rest, the cock crowed three times, and he went off and wept bitterly. Well, if we fast forward to the last chapter of John, this was called the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, there is what's called the restoration of Peter. And if we remember the story, he's on a boat fishing, unclothed, which is odd, and then he looks on the shore and he sees Christ, and he gets excited. Well, Christ says, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll catch fish. And of course, if you remember in Luke, when Peter met Christ, Christ came up and said, hey, cast your net. And there he's like, no, no, no. And they go out and they get all these fish, and then he runs up to Christ. So there's a parallel there. He knew it was Christ because Christ was telling him, hey, I'm the guy who told you to cast the net and to catch all these fish. So they did that. And they caught a bunch of fish. Peter says, hey, it's the Lord. And he gets dressed, oddly enough, and then jumps in the water. I don't know about y'all, but I'd probably wait to get dressed until I got out of the water. But it's Peter, so what do you know? All right. I'm rushing through all this because I'm getting to a point. And that is, when Peter met Christ, Peter asked, there's this dialogue between the two of them. Christ asks him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds, Lord, you know I love you. And then Peter says, well, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know I love you. He says, well, tend to my flocks, right? So do you love me? He's like, he gets irritated. It actually says he gets annoyed. He's like, Lord, why do you do this to me? You know I love you. On the surface, it seems like Christ is just being mean. Like, I know you betrayed me, you know. But it's not what he's doing. That is not what's happening here. It's because the word love is different. There's two words at play in this dialogue, agape and philia. So Christ says to Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with that divine outpouring love that God has for all of humanity, that I showed for you on the cross, that I showed for you? And his love wasn't just manifest in the cross, although that is the perfect icon of love right there. If you ever want to know what love looks like, that's it. But also the fact that he rose from the dead out of love for Peter. And then he was going to ascend into heaven out of love for Peter. And it's this agape love. But you know what Peter says in response? So Christ says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I philia you. I love you like a brother. That's where we get the word Philadelphia. Philos Delphia is the city of brotherly love. So Lord says, do you agape me? And Peter says, no, I can only love you as a brother. Then he says, well, feed my sheep. Then he asks him again, so Peter, do you agape me? And Peter responds, no, I only love you as a brother. You know this about me. You know that I don't love you. And he says, well, tend to my flocks. And then the last time, this is a mind boggler. Christ turns to him and says, so, really? I can kind of imagine put his hands on his hips, you know. So, do you philia me? And he says, you know this. You know I only philia you. He says, well, you know, take care of my flocks. He gives this admonition. He says, don't worry, because the day is going to come where you're going to be taken where you don't want to go, and you're going to be strung up in so many words. And then the author in parentheses says, by this he was describing how Peter would die. And so what Christ was telling him, and it's a beautiful thing, and if you don't understand the words behind the words, the meaning behind the words, you miss what's happening there. And what Christ is doing is he's offering Peter an opportunity to confess, and that's exactly what he did. He says, you know I don't love you like you love me. You know this because I denied you three times. And by the way, three in the gospel is assurance, right? If you are positive about something and it's a cement thing, you say it three times. So by denying him three times, he was saying with absolute certainty, I do not know this man, and I want nothing to do with him. That's painful. Peter knew that. There's a reason why he went off and wept bitterly, because he knew he did not love this man who loved him eternally. The love of God is eternal. We see it on the cross. We see it in ascension. We see it in the mysteries. We see it in love. We see it in creation, that God creates these things around us. He didn't just create it and walk away. We're not deists. He's creating this right now for us to be here in this moment. And so Paul, in time, was given the opportunity to love Christ back with the same love that Christ had for him when Peter hung upside down on a cross and was a witness, a martyr to the love of God. So I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, I was Protestant, I was raised, I was like, oh, am I going to die for Christ? And I keep thinking that dying for Christ is some sort of like obligatory passage, right? It's a rite of passage. Well, you do this, you get baptized, da, 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 and then you die for Christ, and then you go into eternal glory, whatever. But what Christ is really calling all of us today to is to love him. Just love God. And it's like, Father Peter, yeah, you can say that, but that's really hard to do. You know, it's easy to say, and it is hard to do. I've used an analogy before. It's like putting thread through the eye of a needle. Just put the thread through the needle eye. And like, I can't, you know, it won't fit because it's difficult. And yet the things that we are lacking in our lives, that love, that agape love that God has for us, and we try to love one another, we find that we can't. We run to God, and he gives us everything we need. He gives us his love so that we might love him back with his love, and that we might love one another with his love. So when you find yourself struggling to love the people in your life and constantly seeing yourself fall short, and I'm looking around like, I'm sure y'all are like me. I fall short all the time. You know, it's, you know, I'm constantly failing. I'm constantly running out. I'm constantly running on empty. I don't have the love that I need for the people in my life. And so that's a constant running back to Christ, like the prodigal back to the Father, and say, I do not love. Lord, you know I don't love you, and I don't love them, just like Peter. You know, the best I can sum up for these people is a brotherly love, a camaraderie. But to truly love them with your love, that I cannot do. So, what do we do? And as we celebrate the saints today, we find inside of ourselves the lack of love that is required for us to be saints. We have the lack of love that's required to be truly human and to love with the love of God that he has for all of humanity. And this love I'm talking about is a love that's called out, it's an outpouring of love. Paul talks about Christ as pouring himself out like a drink offering. That is love. It's a constant bending towards of oneself towards the other, doing what is necessary for the good of the other. You do what's necessary for the good of the other. That's love. And so we get up in the morning, we say, Lord, help us to love. We struggle to love one another, beginning with filial love and then growing in agape love for one another. Bending our will and our desire for the benefit of the other, saying, I want what is best for you. I want what is best for you. And we say that to each other. Because as Christ said, they will know you by your love for one another, your agape for one another, which he provides us. Just try. I will say, if you want to know the key to the best key to salvation is this. Just try. Just try. It's when you stop trying, we call that despair in the church, that's when you're in trouble. Just get up, commit yourself to it every single day, and when you fall, get back up, do it again, keep going, keep going, keep going, and don't worry, the day will come where the Lord will give you an opportunity. Like he gave Peter, he will give you an opportunity to show your love for him, to share his love with him and with those around you. Be patient and trust in God in all things. Have faith and wait for him to give you the good thing you need to love. And look for opportunities to serve one another. That's very practical. If you want to love your neighbor, to see what you can do to help. The best words you will ever say, except Lord have mercy, behind Lord have mercy, the second best words you will ever say are, how can I help? Those are four words. How can I help? Or how many? Yeah, how can I help? You can count them. I can't count right now. Just ask people, how can I help? How can I help you today? How can I love you today? So simple. Just find someone in your life, your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, your parent, your coworker. If you're a coworker, don't say, how can I love you today? It's kind of creepy. But, you know, just maybe say, go to your coworker and say, how can I help you today? And they'll tell you, well, maybe you could just sit and have a cup of coffee with me. Maybe you can pray for me. Maybe you can help me with some of this work. I can help you with this much work. This is what I can do. Walk up to your spouse. How can I love you today? How can I love you today? And they'll tell you, you can love me today by helping with the dishes. All right. You know, do the dishes. And by doing this, by committing ourselves to these acts of love, you find an amazing thing. You are filled with love. You become fertile soil for God to come and plant his love inside of you. And so be encouraged today that even though you may stumble and fall, and you may find yourself lacking, in our lacking we find the fullness of God. In our weakness we find his strength. So be encouraged this week to commit yourself to the love of God for him and for one another. And here in a little while, I love this, because in a little while, we're going to receive the Eucharist, which is exactly what we need, and God is giving it to us here today in this service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.